And now we will get into our scripture reading for today, which is from the book of Galatians. So let's turn there this morning. Galatians chapter 3, and I am going to read verses 1 through 5. And again, I read out of an NASB translation Bible here this morning. And if you have your place, chapter 3, verse 1, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. And I also have the words up here on the screen. Starting with verse number 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? We'll stop right there for today. Let's go to God in a time of prayer. Lord, we want these words from these 5 verses to penetrate our hearts and our minds here this morning, because we want to learn more about you, learn more about the reasons why the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to these folks at these churches in this area called Galatia. We'll give you praise and glory for what we are going to learn today. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. We took a break over the past few weeks to dedicate our sermon time to the season of Advent, those 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas Day, the first week being hope, the second week being peace, the second week being joy, third week joy, and the fourth week love. But we're now going to return to our expository study of the book of Galatians as we go through verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And this is message number 17, and I have titled today's message, Bewitched. It's a word that the Apostle Paul uses in the text. This morning, here's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be taking each one of these 5 verses from today's reading, and I'm going to break them down as to what Paul is saying to these people at the churches in this area of Galatia. You have 5 fill-in-the-blanks in your bulletin. We're going to get right to those and go through each one of the 5 verses. So, the very first one is this. Number 1, Paul rebukes their behavior. Fill in the blank number 1. Paul rebukes their behavior. Let's take a look at that verse, why he does that. He says this, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified?" Most of us, I could guarantee probably all of us in here, remember the TV series from the 60s called Bewitched. It was a show starring Elizabeth Montgomery, and in that show she plays a nice witch, and she's married to this mere mortal, and his name is Darren Stevens in the show. Well, our word bewitched from our text today, there in verse number 1, has nothing to do with witches, it has nothing to do with the occult, and it certainly has nothing to do with one wiggling one's nose and creating something out of nothing, as Elizabeth Montgomery could do in the show. What does it have to do with? In this verse that we see up here, verse number 1, we see that the Apostle Paul is rebuking these people in the churches of Galatia for being bewitched. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Well, if he uses that word, what does that word mean? Well, it means, we have the definition on the inside of our bulletin. Webster's definition is this: controlled or affected by or as if by a magic spell. Influence, attracted, or charmed as if by magic. It's as if I have a magic wand and I bewitch each and every one of you in here with my little magic wand here today. So, well, we know that that's not a magic wand, but we do know this. The people in those churches were being bewitched. And this is important because, and I love this word, because this rebuke over being bewitched really sets the stage, not only for the next four verses that we're going to talk about, but it really sets the stage for this entire epistle. The people in the churches were bewitched. If we were to go back and review chapters 1 and 2, we will see that Paul is extremely upset over the fact that someone or some people have come into the churches there in Galatia and they're proliferating a false gospel. And Paul reminds them here in verse number 1, I'll put that back up there again. Paul reminds them in verse number 1 that the true gospel of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. That is the gospel. The gospel has everything to do with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and nothing else to do with these other things that they are being taught. So he has already taught them back in chapter 1 that a false gospel cannot and it will not save anyone. And an anathema is also pronounced by the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to those who speak false gospels to these people. And what makes this matter even worse is that these undiscerning Galatians at these churches, they're falling for these false gospels. It's as if those false teachers are placing these people under some sort of magical spell. That's why Paul uses the word bewitched. It's a great word to use for what's happening to these people. It's like they're being controlled by these false teachers. And I think that we know that today there are those people out there who are very, very charismatic in their words and in their mannerisms. And some of these people are even very pleasing to look at, that can easily bewitch a person into believing anything and everything that they say. And Paul tells us back in chapter 1, verse 10, he says this, that these false teachers are doing this to gain the favor of men. And it's working in Galatia. And it's working all too well in Galatia. And Paul has to rebuke them for this. Let's move on to verse number 2, our second fill in the blank. Verse 1, he rebukes their behavior. Verse number 2, he refreshes their minds or refreshes their memories. It's as if you looked at the verse, and here's the verse, we'll put it back up there. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Let me paraphrase what Paul is saying. He's saying this. Hey, Galatians, how did you get saved in the first place? Was it something that you had to work towards? Or was it something that you accepted by faith? He's actually asking them a rhetorical question, and they should know the answer. How did you get saved, Galatians? And Paul had just been through this area of Galatia within the past 5 years. And it goes to show how easy and how quickly it is to be bewitched by charismatic false teachers who are seeking to gain your favor and gain my favor. So, we know that he rebukes their behavior. He refreshes their minds of how they got saved. Let's go to our third fill in the blank. Paul now challenges their motives here in verse number 3. So, what are the foolish motives of these bewitched Galatians? And what does he mean when he says this? Let's look at verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? What does he mean when he says, are you now trying to be perfected by the flesh? If we would go back to chapter 2, Paul relates a story in this letter to the Galatians of how Peter and some of the Jews from Jerusalem were demanding circumcision for the salvation of those at the church in Antioch. And Paul, if you remember, had to rebuke Peter for this heresy. And Paul wanted the Galatians to hear that story. Why did he want them to hear it? Because this exact same false teaching has now spread into the churches at Galatia. And it's now involving circumcision. Their foolish motives were now to believe that circumcision was a necessary part of the salvation puzzle. Well, sure, they began by faith. At least they said that they began by faith. But now they're being bewitched. I love using that word. Now they're being bewitched into believing that certain works must contribute to their salvation. Certain works must be done to perfect their salvation. Sure, they began by faith, but Paul makes it very clear. You cannot contribute in any way to the work that Christ has already done through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. Perhaps they believed, as many people believe today, that we could be more holy or more righteous if we perfect our faith through all of our good works. Well, the bottom line is this, my friends. The good work has already been done, and Jesus has done that good work. We've done three. Let's go to the fourth one. He rebukes their behavior. He refreshes their minds. He challenges their motives. And now, in verse number 4, he disputes their suffering. Well, what does it mean to dispute? To dispute something means to call something into question or to cast doubt upon something. And Paul is calling into question that these people in Galatia are suffering. Let's look at the verse. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? He's calling into question their suffering. And was it in vain? Was their suffering really necessary? And he's questioning it because why? Because the suffering and persecution that these Galatians are experiencing, where is it coming from? It's coming from those jealous Jews who want to beat them into submission, into believing that they need to add works to their salvation. They keep on saying, you're not saved, Kay, and you're not saved, Dave, unless you do this and do this and do this, because you have to contribute to your salvation by the works that you perform. And Paul is saying, you don't need to be suffering at the hands of these Jews. So let me ask all of us here a simple question. Have you ever suffered for something unnecessarily? You might think, well, yeah, maybe so. Let me give you a really good example of someone who I believe suffered rather unnecessarily. We've all seen the movie The Wizard of Oz, haven't we? We all know the story. There's a tornado, Dorothy's in Kansas. She gets knocked out. The next thing she knows, her house goes spinning and it lands in Munchkin Land. And all of a sudden, her house landed on one of the bad witches. And all of a sudden, these ruby slippers go from her feet to Dorothy's feet. But Dorothy only knows one thing. I just want to do what? I want to go home. I want to go back to Kansas. That's all I want. Well, the Munchkins tell her, hey, if you go see the wizard, he'll get you back home. Well, just follow the yellow brick road. Of course, we know the story. She meets a scarecrow. She meets a tin man. She meets a cowardly lion. They finally get to the wizard, and the wizard tells them, well, you need to get the broom of the Wicked Witch of the West. So now they go through all this stuff. They've gone all the way to Oz. They go through all these things. They finally get the broom of the Wicked Witch of the West, and they bring it back to the wizard, and he's about ready to take her back home, and he has his big balloon ready to take her back to Kansas, and she's all excited. Well, what happens? The wizard and the balloon leave. And Dorothy never jumps in. And there's Dorothy. I went through all this. I did all this suffering for nothing. I'm not going back to Kansas. What are you saying here? And all of a sudden, she gets a visit from Glinda, the good witch of the north, I think. And Glinda comes up to her. Well, Dorothy, you've had the power all the time. You're wearing the ruby slippers. All you had to do was click them 3 times and say, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. Now, this is where, if I was writing that story, I would have had Dorothy say a few choice words to Glinda, the good witch, at this point in time. But that doesn't happen. But Dorothy had the power all the time. She had it right all the time. She just didn't know it. And the analogy I'm trying to make is rather simple. Galatians, you're doing all this suffering now because you feel like you need to do this and you need to do that, or don't do this and don't do that, and all these other things that you feel like you need to do to perfect your faith. When all the time, these false teachers, Galatians, they have bewitched you. When in reality, you think you're suffering because of the things that you need to do, you don't need to do any of those things. The only thing you need to do is trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that's it. Galatians, just click your slippers 3 times. And say, there's no place like home. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do anything more. But yes, they were told that you need to perfect your faith by doing this and doing that. And they felt like they were suffering because it's now a challenge that they cannot live up to. Let's face it. Yes, we as Christians, we are going to suffer for the name of Jesus. But it will never be because of our failure to do a sufficient amount of works to perfect our faith. The Galatians, they were suffering in vain. So let's go to our last and final fill in the blank. He rebukes their behavior. He refreshes their minds. He challenges their motives and he disputes their suffering. And now he questions their beliefs. He questions their beliefs. And let's go to the verse. And he ends by saying this in verse 5. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? To help us understand this fifth and final verse, we need to go back to the book of Acts and do a little bit of a review. So we're going to go there. But first, I just kind of want to show you a little map just to kind of get a geographical reference of where we are at. This area right here, we see the area of Galatia. And this all right in here is all the area that we would now call, I can get my little magic wand on here. This whole area is what we would now call the area of Turkey today. This is in Asia Minor. And in the area of Galatia were four churches, the church at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And we could read about Paul's journey there in Acts chapter 13, verse 14 through 14, 23. And we've got some interesting reading there. And I'm going to read Acts 14, verses 1 through 3. And he says this, in Iconium, and that's one of the four churches, they, being Paul and his entourage, entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting them signs and wonders done by their hands. The gospel message would be affirmed at these churches in Galatia by the signs and wonders that were being done by the Apostle Paul. Let's remember that. Let's go a little bit later on in Acts 14, verses 8 through 10. At Lystra, which is another church in the area of Galatia, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand up! Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and began to walk. Again, the gospel message would be affirmed by the signs and wonders done by Paul and the other apostles during this time, which we call the Apostolic Age. Now, we see that there are two examples from the book of Acts that miracles were performed in two of the cities in the area of Galatia, in Iconium and here in Lystra. Now, let's look at verse 5 again. It's starting to make a little more sense. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit, because they brought the gospel message and works miracles among you, which Paul did, because we now know that he did, do we do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Again, it's as if Paul was saying this. Galatians, how is the Spirit given? And by what power are miracles being performed? Are these things being done by the works of the law? By things that we do or don't do? Or by faith in a crucified Christ? Answer, and we know what that answer is. Miracles are never performed by keeping the law. Miracles are only performed by faith. And it's as if Paul was saying, Galatians, why don't you trust us? Why didn't you trust what we told you over the last 5 years? Why are you allowing yourself, Galatians, to be bewitched by these false teachers? And this is a similar question, verse 5, similar question to what he asked back in verse number 2. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Again, it gets back to the question. Hey, Galatians, how did you get saved? Was it something you worked towards, or was it something that you accepted by faith? Let me bring that up to the 21st century. Hey, Beech Grove, how did you get saved? Was it by the works of the law and things that you did or did not do? Or did you and me, did we get saved by faith in Jesus Christ? And if you accepted, and if I accepted the free gift of salvation by faith, why are these Galatians now trying to perfect it by their works? So Paul questions their beliefs. Are you, Galatians, are you truly saved? It's a great question to ask. And I believe that we need to be asking that question of ourselves also. So let me ask it. Are you truly saved? Am I truly saved? This is a question that we must always be asking ourselves, because 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves? Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? The question that we all must be asking ourselves is this: do we pass the test? It's that simple. It's what Paul was asking the Galatians. Do you pass the test? And if you want to throw works into that salvation equation, then you do not pass the test. So far in this study of Galatians, this is our 17th week. I know I must sound like a broken record by now, but I'll say it again. There is nothing a person can do to contribute to their salvation or to perfect your salvation. Salvation, or that moment of justification, that moment when we went from an old creature to a new creation in Christ, is a once and done deal. And Paul wanted to drum that truth home to these folks here in Galatia. And I think it's important that preachers drum these same truths into the people today. Salvation, once you have it, once you have been justified and made right in Christ, it's done. It's done. The work has been done. Our word for today, bewitched. I really like that word. You're going to hear me say that word a whole lot more because it's just a cool word to use. Bewitched. Just like there were false teachers, then in Galatia and all these other churches, we have false teachers today who are bewitching their followers into believing everything and anything that they say. And salvation has now turned into, has gone from a faith thing into a religious system. And if you're going to get saved, you better not deviate from that system. Sure, you must believe in Jesus Christ, but you also must do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. And that bewitching mentality is more mainstream in churches today than what you think. And it is dangerous because what's at stake? A person's eternity. And eternity lasts for a long time. We better get the gospel right. Next week, we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9 in Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to compare that, what we learn next week, and what we learn today in verses 1 through 5, with the teachings and the theology of the Catholic Church in the 21st century today. We're going to compare what is written here in Galatians and what the Catholic Church is teaching. Does the Catholic Church add works to the salvation equation? We'll answer that next week. And as a former Catholic, as you all know, I'm even going to throw in a personal testimony or two to get the answer to that question right. Let's go to God with a word of prayer.